gentlemen, good day and welcome to Havells India Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deepak Agarwal. Thank you and over to you, Mr. Deepak.
Thanks. Good afternoon all. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities, I welcome you all to Havells India Q1 FY25 conference call. Today we have with us management represented by Mr. Anurag Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rajiv Kumar Gupta, Whole-Time Director and Group CFO, Mr. Amit Kumar Gupta, Whole-Time Director, and Mr. Rajiv Goel, Executive Director. I would like to thank management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. And now I'd like to hand over the floor to management, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Deepak. Thank you. Good evening and thank you, everyone, for attending the call today. Hope you would have reviewed the results by now. Q1 posted good growth as cooling products capitalized on a favorable summer. Categories like air conditioners, fans and air coolers performed well as we leveraged our manufacturing capacities, brand strength and omni-channel presence to tap into the market opportunity. As we witnessed many first-time buyers of air conditioners, we feel that this may trigger an inflection point for the under-penetrated AC industry. Industrial and infrastructure continue to perform well, albeit some impact due to elections. Cables registered double-digit growth, but wires revenue was impacted by channel destocking with sharp commodity price decline in June 2024. As cost efficiency initiatives yielding results in form of improved profitability of Lloyd, we continue to strengthen our market position with investments into brand building, differentiated offerings and talent pool. We can now move to Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. First question for the ECD segment. Now I see a top line growth.
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Could you please speak a bit louder? Your voice is coming very low.
Segment, while I see that there is a revenue growth of 20% in flat, now channel has been a restock, premium fans have moved. So that means there has been an ASP expansion on that front. So can you just call out what really led to a flattish margin growth here? Was it mainly ad spend or is there a significant ASP compression in other segments or other product categories in the ECD? Also, you could call out the growth for fans particularly.
Sorry, your voice broke in between. Can you just repeat quickly the gist of the question?
So my question is on the ECD. In ECD, while the growth has been 20%, the margin expansion has been pretty much flat. Now, on the ground level, we understand that fans is a product. Within that, premium fans have done well. So that would ideally mean expansion on that front. So I just want to understand why are we at flattish margins? Is it mainly because of higher ad spend or is there a significant degrowth in some other category?
So actually, if you look at the contribution margins, the contribution margins have improved both due to, premiumization as well as the cost-saving initiatives over the last 1 or 2 years. You know, quarter on quarter, there could be differentiated segment results because of the sometimes the ad spends are higher, sometimes lower. So I think we should track the contribution margin stability or expansion there.
So my next question is on switches and switchgears. Now, we've seen domination by local or unlisted players like Gold Medal, or probably your exact competitors would be Norisys, Schneider or Legrand. Now, all of these brands, most of these brands are giving credit period days as high as 100 to 130 days with product SKUs probably 2x of, minimum 2x of what Havells has. So, and therefore a strong push, you know, by dealers and distributors on the ground. While our revenue contribution is approximately 10%, margin contribution is still close to 1/3. So going forward, do you feel that this increased competitive intensity can further, you know, compress our margin in this segment?
Well, I think, you know, this increased competitive intensity or similar competitive intensity has been there for quite some time. And when you say, you know, local players, I don't know how you calculate, how you are taking national players like even Gold Medal or Norisys or Schneider and Legrand as regional players. They are not regional players. They are national players. And I believe that they are also premium priced players. Despite all that, I think over a period of time, over a longer period of time, we have ranged in our switchgear margins in a very, you know, close-bound range. Between 38% to 40%, 41%. So that's been there. Quarter on quarter, it can vary, but otherwise, generally, we have been range bound, and I think we'll continue to strive to be there.
Understood, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Venkatesh Balasubramaniam from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Mr. Gupta, I just had questions all on the Lloyd's part of the business. Now, what we are observing is for 2 quarters now, you have delivered, you know, you have broken even. I think fourth quarter you did almost 2.8% margins. In this quarter, you did around 3.5% margins. Now, what exactly has contributed for this whole business going from a loss to a profit? Is it just that now you've hit a scale where you can consistently deliver positive EBIT margins, or there has been some price action you've taken, or is it because there are cost savings, your manufacturing in-house? If you could put, throw a little more light on what has caused these numbers to go up to a profitability part. The second part of the question is, this 3.5%, is this a reasonable number which we can assume for the full year of the current year? That is it possible for Lloyd to deliver 3.5-4% kind of EBIT margins for the full year in the current year? And where do you think this number can go according to you if everything goes according to plan over the next couple of years? This is all related to the Lloyd business.
My God, you've put 10 questions in one question. So, look, you know, I don't want to keep repeating myself again and again over various conference calls. Lloyd is a journey, right? And again, you know, I frankly don't even look at 2.8%, 3.5% for the whole year. We're making huge investments in Lloyd for quite some time, and we'll continue to do so. Even if you see our brand building efforts, we're spending close to more than 4-4.5% in Lloyd, which clearly indicates, you know, a long-term investment because we see a huge growth opportunity in Lloyd. It's a very large industry, and our market shares are small in many categories. So, hence, we see a huge growth opportunity there. Now, having said that, you know, whatever things that you mentioned, it's not pricing action, but it is premiumization over a long period of time. Ability for trade to accept a certain price level and the consumer to give a certain price level to a brand. That's again a long-term thing. Bringing efficiencies in manufacturing and cost efficiencies That's also a major contributor towards sustained profitability over the continued period. Having said that, you also said about the fourth quarter and the first quarter. This is the period when primarily 65-70% of the sales happen for air conditioners. So we do get operating leverage also during this two quarters. Second and third quarter, because we are still overweight on air conditioners, second and third quarter will always remain challenging. But over the year, Lloyd is now on a much stronger wicket than it was earlier. I would not give any number associated, as you are probably asking me on this call, but I would say that there will be improved price realization and reduced cost over a longer period of time, as well as growth will be the major, driver for Lloyd for us. And also we'll continue to make investments in brand building, R&D and manufacturing.
Thank you very much. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So just wanted to get a color on the demand perspective. If you look at ECD, shown a 20% growth for the quarter. If you can give some more color in terms of volume growth, particularly for, say, fans, and also some of the other segments within the space and the kitchen appliances as well, which we are kind of looking at. The first question is around that, please.
I think over the last couple of years, we've seen some tepid growth in the consumer segment. And in this particular quarter, the summer definitely helped. Secondly, a low base over last year also contributed to a higher growth. Whether we are seeing a sustained improvement in consumer demand, I would still say I hope it continues. But, we are not very sure whether this is just a one-off. And it is looking better, but I would not say, it's very different than what we have seen in the first last 1 or 2 years. But having said that, the actions that we are taking, whether it's for fan outreach in smaller towns and villages, as well as our kitchen appliances gaining better traction in the minds of the consumer. So those things will continue to help us in increasing the sales in the ECD segment. So we are hopeful for our growth. Obviously, a tailwind from the consumer side will also help us getting faster growth.
Sir, any color on how fans would have done in this particular quarter?
Fans has done very well in this quarter.
Okay. And secondly, sir, on the cables and wires segment, clearly the raw material volatility has impacted revenues. But as we move ahead into July, I understand it's a very short time frame. Have we seen kind of any pickup or bounce back in terms of inventory filling back by the dealers?
Yeah. June was a particular month where suddenly there was a huge destocking because, we had seen stocking in the March, April, May period. So June, more heavy destocking happened because of the raw material fluctuation. We are seeing July to be coming back to normal levels.
Sure. Got it, sir. I'll come back in the question. So thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhartha from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question, again, continuing on the cable and wire side, we had a new capacity coming up in the quarter. Any update on that? Is it completely on stream? And going ahead also, we plan to add more capacities by the end of next year. If you can share some insight into which segments in the cable are you expanding, some color there will be helpful.
We are just awaiting the final approvals for our final sales to start happening from the new facility. So it should start within this quarter. And so that first phase of expansion is over, but we are continuing to add capacity both for exports and for domestic segments and for a larger range of underground cables. For domestic wires, we have capacity and that's a continuous process we've been building for, but for power cables, we are expanding capacity in various segments, including for export. So yes, you are right. For the next 1.5 years, we will see more capacity expansion in cables and wires.
Got it. Sir, second question is on the export side. I mean, we have done multiple JVs in the US also for selling ACs and lights. Can you share some medium-term outlook? Like exports is nearly 3% of our revenues now over the next couple of years. Given these initiatives, any numbers if you can share you want to sort of get from these export markets, if you can share some color, it would be helpful.
So I think these US JVs, you see, we have just sort of instituted them. So I think they will pick up the pace in time to come. Look, our endeavor is definitely to tap the global opportunity, and that's what we are doing either directly from here or also creating sort of these marketing ventures there. So I think let's give it some time. I think it will be difficult to give any outlook right now. But clearly, I think this should continuously improve over a period of time. I think we want to, maybe, I think over a period of time, we maybe want 10% of our business should come from international. But that's the aspiration. I think we are not holding out any medium-term targets for that. But the opportunity is definitely there, and I think it's something which can be leveraged by us.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So two questions. Now, considering the commodity inflation, we have seen some instances of price hikes by various durable companies. So how do we see Havells in terms of price hikes? Have we initiated any price hike in Q1? And now what is the current stance on the price hikes? That is question number one. And question two, now we can see now Crabtree brand is getting rebranded as Havells Crabtree. So should we read similar thing happening with Standard Rio as well as Lloyd also? And is there any plan to make Havells as a mother brand and in terms of reducing overall spends in terms of ads, etc.? So how should we read on these lines? These are the two questions. Yeah, thank you.
So, as far as the price increases are concerned, most of that has been done in many product categories, including consumer durables, in the first quarter. So, as long as this raw materials remain at this level, we've taken all the pricing actions as of now. As far as the branding is concerned, Havells switches used to operate in two different brands, in Crabtree and Havells, other than Rio and Standard. But what we realized was that there was overlapping of customer segments and the influencers in Havells and Crabtree, and hence we and even in the channels, and hence we decided to merge these two brands. So all switching solutions from the Havells brand are now termed as Havells Crabtree, and Crabtree, because of the legacy brand of the switches, so we'll continue with that brand for all switching solutions from Havells. But whether it is Standard, Rio, and Lloyd, they will continue to remain as independent brands even in the foreseeable future, because we see a clear differentiation of the consumer segments in all these three brands. So we don't see Havells to act as a mother brand for the other three brands.
Okay, sure, sir. Very helpful, understood. Just in terms of quantum of the price hikes, if you can elaborate a bit, and anything
different for different product categories. So many times it happens over months. So it is different for different product categories.
Okay, sure, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from Ikagai Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, two questions. Firstly, could you talk a bit on the non-AC portfolio of Lloyd's, please? Largely, my sense is it's 25% of overall Lloyd business. Incremental growth and, capacities being coming up in your investments, and how do you see the Indian market for that? And secondly, on the international side, just a small question there. whatever we are doing right now, the efforts are all focused on the US market specifically, or is it like US, Europe, across? That's the first question.
The first question was on the non-AC.
Yeah. So non-AC categories, you see, in this quarter, obviously the AC is dominating. It is almost 85%, 87%. And as you always maintained, and I think we mentioned earlier in the call also that you see, you say Lloyd is a journey. So I think the journey will cover the other product categories as well. So obviously, as we expect, the refrigerator being a summer product, there has been good growth. And that for our business, even though it's something still sort of as an emerging category in our portfolio. But I think on the overall non-AC category, we have also done well. I think that growth has been also pretty good. And I think the investments will continue to go behind that. We have maintained that the refrigerators and the washing machine will be the key focus for us in the non-AC categories. So that's your first. The second one on the international, look, US is a market we are approaching differently. That's why I think you see a lot of this visibility around US. But yes, our focus is will be the SAARC, the AMESA, and the developed nations, where I think we believe the opportunity is there in both US, Australia, and Europe. Europe at times, you see, have not been that open, you see, as the US has been. So that is the only difference. But we are not sort of riding one over the other. It's just the sheer size and the openness of the market.
Got it, sir. And secondly, you know, I noticed inventory, you know, at 63 days of sales. If I look at last 5 years, I think there is significant and meaningful improvement in this cycle. Could you comment a bit on this, that is it sustainable here? You know, there are meaningful steps being taken consciously reducing this inventory? Or is this like very ideal right now?
No, look, everybody will want to improve that, but you have to balance the growth and the inventory. Also, a lot of this has been overly increased because of Lloyd as a business which got added, and it has a lot of seasonality sort of ratio in this. Seasonality always demands you to be prepared. For instance, you know, this time there was a stock out in the industry for AC. Nobody could have prepared this kind of a scenario. But it does bring the importance of having some inventory. You can't really get too efficient in these things as well. Particularly market like India, very pretty unpredictable in terms of the demand planning. But you see, having our own manufacturing facilities and all sort of make us believe that there is something which can still be improved upon. So I would say, yes, there is a scope for improvement in the same. And I think we should see some better sort of ratios in that going forward.
Got it. So Rajivji, lastly, on CapEx, you could clarify a fiscal 25, what is the budget and where are you going to spend the number, please? Thank you.
I think we have already announced it last time, it's around 800 odd crore. So I think we continue to maintain that.
But wouldn't that change because you announced the cable CapEx after that, right?
Yeah, you see, there is always this what is announced and then the how much it will be spent, because there is spillovers in that. Further, there is a spillover from what we announced last year as well, basically. So I would say on a cash basis, it could be 800 or it could be 900. Depends upon how we ultimately end up sort of spending on the same.
Got it. Thank you so much for answering. I'll come back in with you. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Gupta from SBI Pension Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is on the switchgear segment. You know, we've seen a sharp decline in the contribution margin for the switchgear segment in the last post-COVID, and it's consistently been declining. Just want to know your thoughts around it, and do you think at what levels could these contribution margins stabilize?
So Deepak, on the contribution margin for switchgear, I think as we said, as in post-COVID may not be the right way. If you see long-term switches and switchgear together, we have been in the range of between sort of 40-41 to around 37-38. So I think sometime in the quarter these things will happen. And look, the way we are investing in the business, there will always be, you see, some dilution in that which is possible. But we believe that the long-term range which one should assume for this business is between 38 to sort of 41. And I think that's something we believe is something we will continue to maintain.
So right now, just to understand, right now the margins are 24.6% contribution margins for the quarter. You think that can potentially go
back? That is not contribution, Deepak. That is a segment result. That is more like something akin close to an EBIT, basically.
Okay. But so what kind of EBIT margins can one look for in switchgear section then?
I would say these are decent margins. And just in looking at the nature of the industry investments, we make, like somebody said, Havells Crafty as a brand. I think we also need to invest behind the brand. So overall, I think, again, this has been between 24 to 28, 30. So I think there's a ratio which I think band we expect to maintain.
Understand. And my second question is on the advertisement expenses. How should we look at it? Like, I understand the new quarters where Lloyd contributes meaningfully, the A&P expenses move up. But on an overall company perspective and on from Lloyd's perspective, if you could give us an outlook, what should be the A&P expenses typically should be for the company? Thank you.
Yeah, but overall, I think generally Lloyd is between 4 and 4.5%, and Havells is about 2.5%. So overall, it's about 3 to 3.5%. Yeah.
Understand. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Mehta from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My question was again on exports. So while you did share some details, could you share some more on in terms of approvals, timelines, particularly looking at it from Lloyd's perspective, what can help us improve capacity utilization from where they are currently?
Look, Lloyd, we have already started some degree of supplies, but the real, I think, traction will take around 12 months. So I think, as you rightly asked, we are in the different phases of the approval, and particularly the UL approval. Typically for the entire range, like we have already got one of the range approved, but I think the full range, which is required to tap the opportunity, I think we should set our target of around 12 months from now. So that's what we are looking at. So that's where we are in the journey for the HVAC. Also for cable, because that's another large opportunity, I think now we are getting more and more approvals there. And I would say another sort of 9 to 12 months, we should have a full bouquet of approvals for cables in place. These are two critical categories, you see, in terms of the growth, particularly in the U.S.
Understood. This is helpful. And just on cables front, so given that we've seen very large CapEx announcements by almost all players, particularly on cable side and wires, do you see demand keep pace with that, or do you expect any volatility from supply coming up, maybe not immediately this year but next year?
No, I think it is it's not nobody can talk long term with a lot of certainty. But I think medium term, we believe that not only India but globally there is a requirement for these, and I think the way the power consumptions are going up, again not in India but globally, and the need to invest in the infrastructure which has been neglected for years, but we believe this is at least a 3 to 5 year opportunity and not just 1 year opportunity.
Okay, sure. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just had a question on your capex for FY26 and 27. Should one assume that number of 800 to 900 crore continue? And if you could say probably 35 to 40% could be cable and wire?
Yeah, and I think if we, what we have announced 300, if we do the, let's say around 1000 to 1100 crore will be the overall capex if we include that. And yes, 30% of that, I think, or 30 to 35% of that will be cables. Maybe almost 40%.
Okay, so that would continue into next couple of years also. Okay.
Yeah.
And just, sir, on the quarter, if you can just quantify the volume growth for AC segment and any comment on channel inventory for the industry?
Channel inventory is not there. Actually, you are aware that a lot of both manufacturer and the channels were running out of the inventory. So there is not much inventory at the channel. And you are aware that we do not share volume growth. So I think let's look at the value growth.
Would it be fair to say that 90% contribution would be AC roughly, like because it's a seasonal quarter and the growth has been very strong?
Yeah, around 85% growth is ACs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Latika Chopra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. This is Latika from JP Morgan. Two questions. First, it sounds that you find contribution margins across all your divisions to be in a healthy zone.
Ma'am, I'm sorry to interrupt. Your voice was cracking a little. Could you please repeat your question?
Sorry. It appears that, you know, contribution margins across all your divisions seem to be in a healthy zone. I was just wondering, you know, beyond contribution margins, is it right to assume that level of brand investments, staff investments, capability enhancements will remain firm? So incremental opportunity to expand operating margins will be more modest. Or do you see, you know, further scope for improvement in operating margins at an aggregate basis for the company? I know product mix will shift across divisions at a broad basis.
Yeah, Latika, I think you were breaking, but we just got the gist of what you are asking. So, look, investment will continue. I think right now the base is already set, but I think we expect that these will moderate over a period of time. So, look, we are not suggesting that it will change next quarter or in two quarters, but gradually there will be a moderation. And to some extent, I think these investments are being made because we expect better growth trajectory as well. So I think as the growth picks up, I think you will see better flow through to the EBIT. I think this is what your question is. So
right.
I think it will have both ways. These growth will also moderate in costs, whether staff or let's say A&P. And also I think we expect a better growth, you see, in the core categories as well. And like somebody asked about the consumer sentiments and all, we continue to believe that the consumer turnaround is hopefully near. And in few quarters, we should see that. We should help the core also to grow much better, which ultimately will transmit to the EBIT margins.
Thank you. No, this is very clear. The second bit is just, you know, follow through of what you just said. You know, I understand this was a seasonal quarter, and I completely appreciate the fact that, you know, there is still some skepticism on, you know, the firmness of consumer revival on demand side. But I was just wondering, you know, from the data that you get, you know, from your, you know, dealers, from a month-on-month, you know, consumer purchase behavior, is there something to suggest that you are seeing, you know, a more positive behavior in smaller cities and rural? And is there any cause of concern in some of the bigger cities? You know, just trying to sense, you know, what are you picking up from the ground?
I think nothing substantive which we could extrapolate. So I know it may not answer your question, but the fact is there is no real sort of clear answer to this. So let's wait for some more time. We really don't want to jump onto something which is very sketchy.
All right. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations to the team for good results. The first question probably partially you answered. I mean, the question was on overall consumer category growth. You talked about some destocking in house wires, but that is about primary sales. So overall, are you seeing any either pickup in demand or any signs of pickup in demand on, say, non-summer or non-seasonal kind of product or product which are linked to real estate? So that is my first question.
Look, some pickup is definitely there, and that's why I think this growth, like for instance, fans, yes, summers are high, but some fans are also penetrated category. So there we believe some degree, we have been seeing this, there's a construction which has happened around, let's say, 24 to 30 months before normally they start kicking in. But it has also happened that this has been such a serious summer that the construction activity actually has been impacted. Is it because there is a lack of construction labor and also because of election? So if you mix all of that, that's what I said, there is a pickup, but what we are really afraid of commenting right now, saying this pickup is something which is not sustainable, the things are back and everything is hunky-dory. So I think we want to just avoid that kind of impression. That's why we are hesitant to put these things out. But clearly there is a sentiment improvement. The demand pickup is definitely better if you look at for a preceding quarter than this quarter.
Okay. Sir, second question is on the Lloyd. I mean, I would say that we have used AC as an instrument to say build brand Lloyd over years. Now, should we assume that journey would be relatively easier for the non-AC categories, or to put it different way, whatever the unit economics are there for the AC, are they better for say ref and washing machine right now, or we should assume that we'll have to see similar journey in those products as well, so that is like lower or negative margins and then it takes some more time to be profitable, or they are better margin right from the beginning?
Brand investment definitely will be lower because you are creating the brand for the full category, and there's a whole idea of creating a brand and then expanding into the category. So that, I think, the heavy lifting has been done by the air conditioner. And the margins are sort of better, but let's agree that this is fiercely competitive categories as well. So I think those investments, whether in people, in the manufacturing, will have to be done. So what may something been done before is the way you have built up the brand and the also the channel affiliation, I believe, is far more sort of favorable than maybe what AC has gone through. So yes, some part of the journey has been covered, but some part of the journey will have to be covered by the individual categories as well.
Understood, noted. Thanks a lot. All the best. We'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Niranj Jain from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just want to understand on the cables and wires. I mean, we have been looking at a very strong demand, announced another 25% capacity increase right after commissioning the new facility. So do we also expect any impact on the margins, considering that we have a higher mix moving towards cables in our portfolio? That's my first question. And secondly, just wanted to check on the overall inventory levels across channels, especially for the summer-related products after strong demand, because we saw a very strong primary growth for Lloyd this quarter. But how is the inventory channel after the summer? And any price action taken by Lloyd, particularly in the last quarter? So if you can quantify that price hike that was taken. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah. So on the Lloyd, we did say that whatever price hikes were appropriate for all that, and not just Lloyd, but all the product categories, because of the commodity, have been taken. So we won't go into individual set of categories on the same. What was the other thing?
Cable.
Yeah. So I think, the cable is an opportunity there, which we are sort of investing behind. But we are expecting other categories also to grow. So
We already have built capacity.
Yeah.
So it's not that the other businesses will not grow at the same pace. Cables, we had underinvested over the last few years. So right now we are catching up with investment.
So with the growth, we believe that we do not expect any significant sort of margin dilution, because of increase in the cable sales. I think we are expecting all other categories to be aligned, and I think that's something we are not expecting. I think your question is whether margins will be diluted because of product mix, and that's something we do not foresee.
Sure, sir. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yagnam from AMSAC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So out of the 800 or so crore capex we are talking, so would you able to give some color towards Lloyd, how much we will be spending?
So as Mr. Rajiv mentioned, the 800 plus the announcements that we've
around 1100.
Out of which Lloyd is lower because most of the capacity, I think, is about 100 crores for Lloyd.
All right, sir. And just any update you would like to share on the raw material pricing currently and its impact on, say, gross margins up to 3 to 6 months?
So we've already said that, there have been some increases in raw material prices over the last few months, and corrective pricing actions have already been taken.
All right, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinadhi Karelekar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So a couple of questions on Lloyd business. So in Lloyd business, we have seen about 70 basis points sequential improvement in contribution margin. And that looks smaller given that sequentially our revenue growth is about 40%. Just wondering, in that business, is operating leverage benefit to an extent offset by lower gross margin sequentially?
Look, normally Q4 also has a lot of annual impact. So Q4, I don't think you should really compare on that basis. I think these Q1 results have a amalgamation of, you see, cost benefit which have accrued over the period. Also, the operating level. The operating level has really played out. And I think nobody can discount the power of this high growth. I think that has helped the business overall. So, we are very satisfied with how the margins have panned out. And yes, I think there is always a scope for doing better, which is something we are striving for as well.
In terms of related question, would you say your gross margin in Lloyd business are already hitting 20% plus level?
So that we can't comment. I think we have already shared metrics we have to share. So I think that's something we will refrain from commenting.
Thank you for answering my question and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Mahawar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, congratulations, Anandji, for a great show in Lloyd. My first question is on Lloyd. We are broadly at the highest scale in terms of what capacity we have with the second plant coming. And barring compressors and maybe motors, everything else is internalized in Lloyd. So how has your experience been on the manufacturing ramp-up? And do you think in maybe 25, 26, we will reach the profitability that the top two, three incumbents have in room AC? Thank you.
So, manufacturing definitely has helped us not only in terms of improved margins, but also in the fact that we are able to start giving differentiated products in the market and our own R&D. As we have always said, Lloyd is a journey towards not only gaining market share, but also to improve profits. How much, whether it is in the top two, three or not, we don't want to comment right now because we do believe that we are in this for the long term and we'll continue to make investments higher than the competition. Our growth aspirations are higher and so we will continue to make investments. Somebody asked this question about brand building for the rest of the non-AC products. So that will also require some amount of investment. May not be at the same levels of what we were required to build for air conditioners, but it will be there. So it's a long-term journey, but there will be a continued improvement in both volumes as well as profitability.
Fair. So thank you. And second and last question is on ECD. Of course, we've actually had a very strong growth in the last 10, 15 years, but last 2 to 3 years, the industry itself is going through doldrums and nothing particularly negative about Havells here. We are broadly around industry. Do you think FY25 is the year where, based on today, how we see the market, maybe second half, we will start seeing this industry, triggering 20% kind of growth for Havells, or do you think it's still early and maybe 26 and 27? Thank you.
Well, I can't give a number 20% growth, but you see, ECD comprises many product categories. It's fans, which is a bit more penetrated category. Then we have domestic appliances where our market shares still have room to grow. Then we have air coolers. We have products like water heaters. So I think there are various components, and we do believe as the consumer sentiment as well as the housing and everything improves in India, definitely ECD will be a beneficiary, and we'll continue to strive for increased market shares in these categories also. So I think we are definitely hoping for a better year this year, but also next year.
Sure. Anji, can I squeeze a very small question?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think is this the best time for Havells to leverage on the balance sheet and Pan India brand image to add, you know, a few categories like, say, kitchen portfolio inorganically? Because some categories doesn't make too much sense going organic, and we've been doing that, but look to gain regional presence and product presence. So do you think this is the best time for Havells to look at one or two categories where we can look at regional players to consolidate? That's it.
I think, look, there is no best or worst time for these kind of opportunities. I think we will have to evaluate on as they come. And it's not that we have not evaluated in the past, but frankly, they have to make sense on the pricing, on the capital deployment, the returns thereon. So, Amit, we will always be open to this. This is something has been our stance in the past as well. So, but just because few things are happening, I think we will not rush into anything. So that's the way we'll maintain now as well.
Thank you, and good luck with the entire team.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, this will be the last question for today's conference call. It is from the line of Ashish Jain from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, my first question is, you know, the price hikes you spoke about in 1Q, is it safe to assume that all of it will reflect in the second quarter, or it's already there in 1Q?
No, I think partially it has been captured and partially it will follow through. But you have to also understand that the cost will also follow through the similar way. So,
right. So, secondly, you know, it's more, you know, I just want to understand, like, where we were, let's say, 12 months back in terms of our, you know, recovery expectations, especially for the broader ECD portfolio. When you reflect back, what has really disappointed, if you can give some color? Is it like one particular region? Is it replacement demand? Or is it, you know, new home buyer? You know, because this has been really prolonged now, you know, for the last three and a half years, we haven't really seen a recovery. So any color you can give on that, like where you really think a disappointment has come on the ECD side?
As you say, ECD is a portfolio, so there are multiple levers. You see, Fan had gone through their own journey of transition to BEEE and things like that. But I think the underlying trend also has been the weak consumer demand. And I think this is not just playing out in ECD, it's also playing out if you look at related categories across industries as well. So we will believe that the consumer sentiment and the spending power has to improve. Hopefully, that's something which will bring the much-needed tailwinds to this sort of sector.
Ajay, can you give any sense, like, what part of our ECD would be replacement-led demand? Is it possible to have a sense of that?
Largely, it is new. I see there's not much replacement.
Largely, it is new. Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody, for joining the call, and look forward.
On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.